May the peace of the earth, the winds of God's spirit, and the creative energy of our God be with us as we gather for worship. My name is Marilyn Graber.
I am Rebecca Slough.
And we welcome all of you who are gathered here in this space and those joining us by radio, telecast, and the internet. Due to the uncooperative weather, our annual outdoor service is inside. Some of you are joining us through technology and may be able to open your windows, your doors, go out on the patio and the porches, and experience the freshness of God's great creation. Those of us who are inside here will worship knowing that we are surrounded by God's great and good creation. At this time, please greet those who are seated next to you, or hold in prayer those family and friends and who are near to you in heart, but separated by distance.
On this third Sunday of our Anabaptist Learning Month, we focus on reconciliation with creation. We are blessed to live on a planet that is beautiful, wondrous, and mysterious. And yet, creation groans for redemption and healing from the abuse that it endures as a result of our arrogance. Today, we will hear from three members of our congregation who will talk to us about some of the inhabitants that are part of our neighborhoods and show us something about God's character and playful artistry. And we will feel the life-renewing waters of God's love raining down on us in a controlled way this morning, and celebrate the ways that we can take up our part for caring for God's good earth.
Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 148. I will read part of that psalm, and Rebecca will lead you, the congregation, in the response that's printed in your order of worship. Praise the Lord. Let the sun, moon, and stars sing praises. Mountains, hills, fruit trees, and cedars. Wild animals, all cattle. Birds that fly, and all creeping things.
Praise and bless God forever.
Alabad y bendecid a Dios por siempre. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for the Lord commanded, and they were created.
Praise and bless God forever.
Alabad y bendecid a Dios por siempre. Praise the Lord, kings, princes, and all rulers of the earth, men and women, young and old alike. Let them all praise the Lord, for his name is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven.
Praise the Lord,
the Lord forever. Alabad y bendecid a Dios por siempre.
I invite you now to open your worship books or your song folders in your order of worship to Morning Has Broken as Kevin leads us.
All of our singing this morning can be found in the insert. If you'd like a slightly larger version, it's also in the hymnal, number 648. Please stand. Cantemos al Señor, also number 55 in the hymnal. We're going to sing verse 1 in Spanish, followed by verse 1 in English, then verse 2 in Spanish, and verse 2 in English. 4 times through altogether.
Thank you.
I invite us now, as we sing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, to bring your offerings forward to the baskets, and also your coins for My Coins Count can be brought to this jug. If you are unable to come forward, ushers will be moving around to help you. Also, at this time, children and youth who would like to go on a nature treasure hunt are invited to meet Rose and Becky out this way by the church office. As the children are leaving, I invite parents who would like to pick up worship bags for their children to do that for later in the service.
If we were outside, we would be taking a few moments now for some silence to simply listen. Listen to what is going on around us, to look at what was going on around us, and to feel what was going on around us. But we're inside, and we can still feel what's going on around us. But I'd like to deepen that by inviting you to recall an outdoor place that you love. Bring it into your memory, into your mind's eye, into your heart, and into your spirit. See its colors. Feel the air in that place. Listen for the creatures, the wind, maybe the rain and the thunder. Maybe see the snow. And breathe with that place where you are right now.
Silence my soul, these trees are press. Silence my soul, these trees are press. I ask the tree, I ask. I asked the sun. I asked the sun. Tell me about God. Tell me about God. Then it shone.
Imaginative God, you made our earth and the cosmos as signs of your creative power. You longed for beauty and companionship, and all that you have fashioned reflects your glory. The heavens, the stars and planets, the earth, and all of the living things that know this place as their home express your unimaginable love, creativity, and care. And yet, God, we hear your creation groaning. We confess that we are slowly remembering our place in the natural world that you have made. You fashioned us as caretakers, but we act as if we are the master designer. We do not think often enough of how our actions damage the web of life in which we live, endangering our sisters and brothers in other parts of your world. Forgive us, God. Create a new, right, and humble spirit in us. Open our hearts and guide our minds so that we can be stewards of this earth and all of its creatures.
We bring to you, O God, our prayers of intercession. We pray for Mike Miller as he recovers from a crush injury to his arm. May the surgeries the doctors have performed be effective in healing this injury. We give thanks that Margaret Clemens is at home recovering from a successful surgery this past Wednesday. Continue to heal Margaret and surround her and Bill with your comfort and love. We pray that you will comfort Sam Troyer and his family as they mourn the death of Sam's brother who died earlier this week near Sturgis, Michigan. May your love sustain them in these coming days. We continue to pray for Derek Klefenstein and his family. Hold them in your loving embrace at this very difficult time. We pray for his healing. May Derek and his family feel your presence, your love, and a peace that passes all our understanding. We bring to you these requests in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I invite you to turn into your song booklet, your worship folder, to How Great Thou Art.
You'll notice in your program that we have, after verse 2 and after verse 4, the refrain is printed in Spanish. And that sounds like, Mi corazón se llena de emoción, cuán grande es él, cuán grande es él. I invite you to stand as we sing together.
I see the sun.
In place of our morning sermon, Gary Keister, Mary White, and Daniel Yoder, all members of our congregation, will reflect on what the natural world has taught them about God. After each reflection, Kevin will lead us in the chorus of How Great Thou Art. Gary.
Back in late April, Becky Horst sent me an email and asked if I would talk for 5 minutes on a Sunday in August about bird watching. She included three email questions for me to consider. Why do you care about birds? What have you learned from birds? What might birds teach us about good relationships? I soon realized I had the same answer to all three questions. I don't know. I never thought about it. Well, since I do spend a lot of time bird watching, I thought maybe these are some questions I should give some consideration to. And August was a long ways away, so sure, I said I would do it. And now it's August. First of all, I need to explain that just because I spend a good deal of time bird watching does not mean I'm a good birder. Good birders use their ears probably even more than they use their eyesight. And I can't hear high-pitched sounds, I can't hear buzzing sounds, and I'm told there are many birds that make those sounds. In addition, I'm not at all musical, so the ones I can hear, I have a difficult time telling them apart. I can be consistently relied upon to correctly identify the sound of a crow, but that's about it. As a result, I tag along with good birders when I go bird watching, and there are lots of good birders in this area. Many of my birding companions are part of College Mennonite Church, and I very much enjoy the companionship and the camaraderie that I have in my birding family. There are two excellent birding mentors that I want to mention by name today because they're no longer with us and greatly missed by all of us in the birding community. The first, whom many of you knew, is Dan Stolzfus, and the second, whom most of you knew, Don Byler. Back to Becky's questions. What have you learned from birds? What do birds teach us about good relationships? Perhaps I'm wrong, and I'm very open to be corrected, but I've come to the conclusion that you don't go bird watching to learn good ideals to live by. Birds are concerned with one thing, survival. And therefore, they're very self-centered and selfish, and the human race doesn't need any help in those areas. Why do I care about birds? A good reason to care about birds is that they are excellent environmental indicators that provide a window through which we can see what's happening in our environment. And right now, it's not a very pretty picture. For Father's Day this year, my wife bought me a little book entitled A Life Gone to the Birds. I would accuse Norma of sending a not too subtle message, except that I did ask for the book. The author, Al Bratt, is a bird guide, writer, speaker, storyteller, and humorist from Minnesota. The book is a compilation of articles and essays that he's had published in newspapers and magazines around the country. Most of the articles were of a humorous nature, but one toward the end was serious, and it was entitled, Why Do We Watch Birds? He writes, I love bird watching. Sometimes I wonder why. Especially when I seek avian treasures on one of those frigid days featuring winds that peel the skin from my bones. And there are some times when birders get themselves into some precarious and questionable situations. There's one local birder that I know very well, who just this last March, it was early in March, was walking across the swampy area, seemed pretty solid, when all of a sudden he hit a soft spot and sank to his knees into frigid water. And what's worse, I didn't see the white-winged scoter that I went to see. Back to the essay. The more I learn about birds, the more I realize how little I know about them. Thomas Edison said that we don't know 0.001% about anything. I take solace in that. I believe birds are a window into the appreciation of nature, but they're more than that. They're a door to the outdoors. The beauty and songs of birds draw us like sirens into the woods, the wetlands, and the prairies. They give us cause to fall in love with nature. I watched a group of people work together to assemble a jigsaw puzzle recently. I came to the realization that each bird I see is a piece to that puzzle that constitutes my existence. Each bird is a possibility. I love watching birds. Another place in the book, the author quotes a Welsh poet named William H. Davies, who wrote, "What is this life if full of care? We have no time to stand and stare." Since I retired from teaching, I've spent a lot of time standing and staring at birds. 2 weeks ago, Don Blosser, in his sermon, suggested that one way to experience the reconciling love of God is to look for expressions of beauty around us, as through the beauty of nature, God is experienced. Often as I've stood and stared at birds, I've found myself thinking and occasionally even mumbling out loud, "Wow, thank you, God."
Good morning. My portion of the worship is what animals have taught me about creation, and I've subtitled that A Reconciliation with Nature. When I've gone camping in the past, there are certain precautions that you must take when it comes to animals and nature. You want to make sure your food's secure, then you have to bag it and hang it from a tree branch. When you set up your tent, you have to make sure you zip it up. If you don't, snakes or other cold-blooded creatures will want to share the warmth of your sleeping bag. Another good tip is to always shake out your shoes in the morning. This is to be sure that a spider or a scorpion is not hiding inside. But even in the city, we encounter a lot of God's creations. The birds, especially pigeons, can be found nesting in parks as well as in and on buildings. In the city, we see lots of squirrels and chipmunks, also mice and rats. In other parts of the world, cities have been actually overrun by monkeys. Other animals that have become city dwellers are rabbits, cockroaches, bed bugs, seagulls, red foxes, and skunks. They're now our neighbors. Because they're a part of our lives, sometimes we give them human emotions and feelings. We would say someone is as sly as a fox or strong as an ox. Even back in the time of Aesop, his fables told stories to children using the animals to teach a moral lesson. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent represented the ultimate evil. But one animal that I can really relate to is my dog, Pera Grande, my Great Dane. Her name is Duchess. She is loyal, protective, and faithful to me. However, I have to reconcile myself to certain things that she does that are less than lovely. She will sniff and try to eat all manner of disgusting things. She will disobey me at the most inopportune times. She is big and sometimes very clumsy, but she loves me, and I love her. We need to show our love and appreciation for all of God's creation. Wherever we may live in this world, we need to preserve that nature So city dwellers and country dwellers alike should not exploit this rich bounty that the Lord has blessed us with. Our care for creation is a reflection of who we are as human beings.
I was born on a farm, which means I grew up connected to land. Growing plants, caring for animals, managing land, bringing the best from the earth. So you could say by that I grew up caring for creation. But I'm less certain that that's exactly the right term to be using. Lately, I've discovered a term that I think describes what was going on for me. Ecological amnesia. Ecological amnesia. It's a phrase coined by Norman Wiersbe and then expanded on by Fred Banson in a book that they co-wrote called Making Peace with the Land. And as they define it, ecological amnesia is when humans forget the fundamental fact that we are bodies bound to each other through webs of food and water and breath and energy, inspiration, pleasure, and delight. It's an inability for us as humans to see the rest of the created order that Jesus has already reconciled to himself, and an inability to see the harm that we are causing to it. So even though I grew up very close to the land, I was overlooking something. I was forgetting something. Forgetting what Paul tells the church in Colossians 1. 19 to 20, that in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Jesus, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. I also like how Eugene Peterson translates it in The Message this way, that all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of Christ's work of reconciliation. So I grew up connected to a particular piece of soil, but I didn't see it as a place that Jesus loved just as much as Jesus loves me. I saw that soil as something to be managed for our family's benefit. I saw the soil as something that my family extracted a living from, something with an economic value. I had overlooked or forgotten or not learned or had been willfully blind to the fact that God's gift of creation is not measured by economic standards. I'd not realized that God is ultimately concerned with how well we as humans are doing at the work of reconciliation with creation, the reconciliation of all things. My ecological amnesia kept me from asking some hard questions, like, what if God cares more about the source of the energy flowing through my light bulbs than God cares about what really happened with the stock market this week? Or what if God is more concerned with how we use the gas that's already in our vehicles than with who wins political elections? Or what if God is more concerned that the person who picked my food is treated fairly than whether or not I think I have gotten a good deal for a meal? And when we can't ask these kinds of questions, I think we reveal how much we suffer from ecological amnesia. So I've been looking for a way out of this. And I think for me, it's paying attention to soil. It was a thing that I grew up on, but I had overlooked it or not really fully appreciated it. Soil is not dirt. Soil is the source of life. It's a source of health. Soil is a living substance that just can't wait to give life to anything it touches. Soil is also a place of reconciliation and transformation in the way that it receives death and decay and then turns it back into something that brings new life. Soil is still, even scientifically, a mystery, and yet it is a source of life. It's not dusty, dirty old dirt. And as much as I like soil, I realize that I'm still suffering from my ecological amnesia with it, especially when it comes to the parenting side of me. On Friday, I realized that when it comes to my children and how they play in soil, I still have some reconciling work to do. So, Zeph really loves to dig, and it's great. He loves it so much that we've had to set aside some designated digging areas in our yard so that we don't have holes everywhere. And I love it that Zeph enjoys playing in the soil like this. Until it's time to come inside. And then my language to a person that I love, who is covered in head to toe in something that I love, my language is less than loving. Don't bring dirt in the house! Yeah, that's my gut response from a place of ecological amnesia. So in thinking about this and kind of preparing for today, I haven't put this statement into practice yet, what I'm about to say, but what I hope to say, what I hope I can do in the future, is respond a little bit more like this. Son, do you realize what is on your hands and smeared on your face and caked on your boots? You have life on you. So let's keep it where it can do its best work. Don't bring it in the house where it will go down the drain and be wasted. Keep it outside so it can do exactly what God intended for it to do. So soil is teaching me how to identify my ecological amnesia. And for me, paying attention to that one thing has given me the opportunity to see God's beautiful work of reconciliation around me in many other places. So as you've heard from me and from others, what's your one thing? What is that piece of creation that just calls to you? Because that is God calling you to pay attention to the beauty that we inhabit. Is it trees, grass, food, air, crickets, mountains, birds, stars, dogs, ladybugs, oceans, flowers, microbes, fossils, other human beings? What is your one thing? Pay attention to it. Watch it. Learn from it. Learn how it interacts with other things, with other living beings. And do what you can to make that one thing, that one part of creation, flourish. Because this is our Christian calling. This is the joyful purpose of life that God has given to us as caretakers, as reconcilers within creation. Amen.
So birds, dogs, soil, and a list of all kinds of wondrous things we've just heard about reflect God's amazing creativity. And water, like the gift of air, makes every moment of our lives possible. Everything that lives depends on water to maintain its physical functioning. And the lack of water and all forms of dehydration are threats to life itself. Our My Coins Count project supports the development of clean water supplies in other parts of the world to build strong and healthy communities. And of course, too much water concentrated in one place is uncomfortable, which is why we are inside today and not outside. And too much water that is surging uncontrollably has power to destroy life, which is why God so wisely set bounds on the water, separating it from the dry land. Water is an amazing and miraculous gift and resource, and it demands our gratitude, our respect, and our care. So as we sing Rain Down Your Love from the songbook or from Sing the Journey, we're going to celebrate with just the right amounts water. Water's power to sustain us and to renew us and to bring us gladness and joy.
Thank you.
And in response to God's love that rains down upon us, we will speak the words of intention and promise that are printed in the worship folder. And please choose whether you will speak in Spanish or in English. As Christians sent as ambassadors of reconciliation into the world, we offer ourselves as caretakers of this good earth and all God's creatures. We promise to protect the cycles of life and renewal God bred into all living things. We will respect our place in the web of life that God created in love. I invite Phil Waite to come and lead us in a commissioning service for Sophie and David Lapjost.
Invites you to turn to number 796 in your hymnals, and while you're doing that, I invite David and Sophie to come forward, and also their support ministry support team, members of their ministry support team, if you could come forward as well, please. I'd like David and Sophie, if you could just say a few words about your new assignment. We've heard before, but just to remind people, so that's fresh. And then I'd like each member of the ministry support team to introduce themselves and say a little bit about their role on the team and what they're excited about.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are going to be starting a new term of service in September with Mennonite Mission Network again, but this year, hopefully for the next 3 years, we will be in Baumenthal in southwest Germany near Heidelberg. This is a small town with a Mennonite community. I will be working part-time in a pastoral role at the Mennonite Church there, and David can tell you about his work.
I'll be working for the German Mennonite Peace Committee, which maybe the most familiar things here would be historically did the military counseling network, working with soldiers who were interested in conscientious objection, and now works mostly on refugee-related issues. We will be leaving September 2nd and both be doing a lot of German study and also volunteering in other nonprofits, and appreciate your prayer and support.
Weldon Troyer, financial support.
And I'm Marty Lehman, and I give leadership to this team.
Good morning. I'm Jill Koop-Lichty, and I am helping David and Sophie with communication, so I'm helping with things such as the newsletter that they send out.
Joy Hess, the prayer connection.
I'm Sue Neeb, and I have the privilege of, I don't know what my role is actually called, but it's kind of an encourager. I talk with David and Sophie on a monthly basis over Skype and just check in with them and see how they're doing.
I'm Nancy Miller, and I'm a member of the Outreach Commission, which will support them.
Please join me in reading in unison number 796, this commissioning, as we commission and bless David and Sophie for their work. As God's Spirit calls and the Church commissions, the servants of Christ are scattered in places of need throughout the world. We accept your service as an extension of this congregation and pledge our support of your ministry. We join with you in seeking first the kingdom of God. Consider your assignment as God at work in you, ministering to human need.
May you be given a deep love for those among whom you will live, and may Christ be known through you in word and deed. Our prayers will continually support you while you are absent from us.
I'd like to invite members of the team to gather around David and Sophie, and I will lead us in a prayer of blessing, particularly for them. And I invite the rest of you to just hold out your hands as an extension of that blessing. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the calling forth of gifts from among your people. And we especially give you thanks for David and Sophie, dear to us, dear to this community of believers, and dear to you. We ask that all their endeavors, whatever they seek to do, would bear good fruit, worthy of their calling. We commit ourselves to support them, to encourage them, to pray for them, and to care for them in whatever ways we are called to do as a congregation. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Following our time of worship here, we are going to have time and opportunity to reconnect with nature, to do some activities that help us with this work of reconciliation. So you may have seen, if you came into the fellowship hall, that there's different activities in the hallway set up and outside potentially. It got dark again, so we'll see what the rain affects here yet to come. But there are activities for creating art with things that have been recycled and repurposed. There is an opportunity to just consider the lilies, to take your own time to reflect on creation. Like I said, yes, depending on the weather, we might be able to do some nature care out in the memorial garden, some sidewalk chalk, different things like that. If this time today has stirred up ideas within you, there is a brainstorming board where you can put down your ideas for how we as a congregation can be reconciled with creation in better ways. So write down your ideas, look for others, look for like-minded people, and let seeds be planted and grow. If you have wondered what in the world casting hope is, this thing that keeps getting talked about, and would like to see a little more up close, there's a chance to do that out under the awning as well. So there are plenty of options and activities coming up here in the next 45 minutes. We will still have our picnic, but inside, and we'll start the food line about 11:20, and then end the activities about 11:30. So we'll do some activities first, coffee, and then we'll fellowship together starting around 11:20. So let's lead into our singing and benediction.
Let's stand as we sing together, "The peace of the earth be with you." It's also in "Sing the Journey" 77.